Hello, it's so good to see you all this evening. It's been a long time since I stood here in this place, and it is good to be back. So, Pastor Mark, I thank you for the opportunity. I told him, I said, Mark, it's been a long time. And basically, he told me, don't get too long-winded. That's pretty much what he said. He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he said. So, before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Lord Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you choose us, weak, unable, unworthy individuals, Lord, to proclaim your gospel, to proclaim your word. Father, that we might worship you as we so vividly saw already tonight. Heavenly Father, we just pray that your word would be heard, not me, not anything else, just your word. Lord, that your grace and your will might be proclaimed. Heavenly Father, in your name that we pray, amen. All right, if you have your Bible tonight, oh, hello there. I see some people that I haven't seen in a long time, so I'm glad to see you all. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, hopefully I can still find it. All right, in Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to be. We're going to cover a multitude of verses because we can't just hunt and peck and pick out one verse. But we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. Now, when I started praying about what the Lord might have the message to be tonight, we always go back to the things that we know and the things that we've done and how the Lord moves through that in His Word and how He speaks to us and all those things. Well, one of the things I've done, and I remember I started teaching junior church here in April of 1995. Okay, that was 20 years ago. I've been teaching kids. So kids is what I know best. Some would say because I am still one, but one way or the other, that's what I know best. And upward, I have the honor of coaching, assistant coaching an upward basketball team. And during the upward season, we have three particular character traits. And with each one of those character traits comes a Bible verse. Well, one of the Bible verses is Philippians chapter 2, in verse 4, and it says that we should esteem others better than ourselves, or put others in front of ourselves. You know, and when you're, and I, we coach third and fourth graders. You know, and when you look at third and fourth graders, you say, what does that mean to put somebody else in front of you? This is what you get. You know, they don't know. Well, how does that look? You know, a lot of times we hear God's truth, we hear God's word, we read God's word, we think, you know, I'm sure that means something, but I don't know exactly how to apply that. You know, so further going back to the things that I know, one of the things I learned when I very first went in the military is every time we learn something, we have an explanation, a demonstration, and a practical application. All right, so we have an explanation, and a lot of times the explanation is the task at hand, right? The task at hand is to esteem others before ourselves. And if we esteem others before ourselves, in all things, think about how much trouble would not happen. Think about what we would not do or the things that we would do. How things would be different if we esteem others above ourselves, the Lord most of all, but our neighbor as well. Because, you know, Jesus, He said the two greatest commandments are what? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Right, very good. So if we do those things, then we're esteeming others above ourselves. Right? So we have an explanation. So the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Philippians here, and he starts off, you don't have to turn back one page, you can if you want, but he starts off in chapter 1 like he often does by starting off saying, you know, there's all these good things, and I love you, and I pray for you, and I can't wait to come back and see you. You know, kind of like your relatives when you talk to them on the phone. And then they're thinking, man, when they get here, something's going to happen. I'm not sure. But anyway, he says to them in chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, I'm confident of this one thing, that He, that is God, which began a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in verse 12, he says, but I would that you should understand, brothers, that the things which happened to me have fallen me rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds Christ is manifest in all the palace and in all other places, And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident in my bonds and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, we're going to come back to that, but that's how he's introducing this letter. You know, and he's introducing this letter and he's telling them how much he loves them, how much he's praying for them, and the things that have happened to me. Now, y'all know that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians from jail, right? He wrote it from jail, so these things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Were y'all here this morning to hear Pastor Matt? Man, he absolutely threw it down this morning. I mean, he did an outstanding job talking about Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The Apostle Paul, he's part of those, right, as Matt talked about this morning. So all those things happen not just for his good, but to the good of all the hearers. All those things happen for the good of us, because we are part of the hearers, right? Okay, so he goes on and he writes this. He finishes writing chapter 1, and then he starts to give a little bit of instruction in chapter 2. So one of the instructions that he gives the Philippian church in chapter 2, he says, chapter 2 and verse 1, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And these verse 3 and 4, here's our focus verses, but this is our explanation. Or our our explanation. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Okay, so I'm supposed to look out for other people first, right? I'm supposed to look out for who first? Like my family, right? My church family, my brothers, how does that work? How does that work? How do I apply that command to my life practically? Right? We have an explanation. Now we're going to see the demonstration. A lot of times when you have a demonstration, you have somebody that's really, really good at it. I remember when I was in, I think, eighth grade and I started in algebra. Right? Y'all love algebra, right? Y'all love algebra, right? Caleb, you know, he's the one up here praising the Lord, right? He's like, man, I hate algebra. You know, he loves music, but he hates algebra, right? Okay, so you hate algebra and, you know, the teacher is telling you, well, this is how you solve for X. Well, here's how you solve for X. Well, what if you have two variables? Here's how you solve for X and for Y. And you're like, man, how am I supposed to do that? And he's like, look, this is how you do it, right? And then they turn around, he's got the chalkboard or the marker board or smart board or whatever it is, and they do this big, long equation, and he gives this demonstration. This is how you do it. And you're thinking, I am never going to be able to do that. Ever. I remember thinking that. Like, man, that's crazy. What am I ever going to use algebra for? Adults, do y'all use algebra? No. Kids, the only reason you get taught that is so because we got taught it and we're getting back at our teachers by teaching you. That's the only thing. That's the only reason, right? Because we had to go through it, so you got to go through it. That's just the way things are. Now, so he gives this explanation. He says, put others before yourselves. So, the Apostle Paul doesn't say, well, look to me because I'm the example. Right? The Apostle Paul didn't say, I'm the math expert and I'm going to show you how to do algebra. He's not telling you, I'm the one that gives the perfect example. This is what he says in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let what mind be in you? That you esteem others in front of yourself. That we humble ourselves and put others in front of ourselves. Now, that's a difficult thing. Would you agree? That's a terrible thing. Because we want to take care of us, right? And sometimes that means our family also. Sometimes that means putting others in front of our family. You know, I don't know if you all know who Oswald Chambers is. Oswald Chambers, I read him every day. I love Oswald Chambers. Right? Oswald Chambers said in one of his devotions, I don't remember what day of the year it is or whatever, he says, never are you more aware of your obedience to God as when your family has to suffer for it. So sometimes you're putting others in front of yourself. Yourself is even your family. But this is, Jesus is the example here. In verse 5, he said, let this mind, putting others in front of yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. He is the one who set the example. And Jesus, being in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, I know men. I know me. God himself coming in form of a man. How humiliating that must have been. You ever been demoted at work? You ever been demoted at work or have to take like a terrible job after you've already had like a really, really good job? Man, it's tough, right? It's tough. So God, think about God being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a man and made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. And wherefore God so highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth, that at every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Man, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. Because he put somebody else, he put others like us in front of himself. He humbled himself and even died on the cross. And because he humbled himself, because he put himself, he put everybody else in front of him, in front of his will. You remember the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? The night before he was crucified. What did he pray? Father, if this cup could be taken from me, take it. Lord, I pray that this is not your will, but if not, let your will be done, not mine. Man, obeying the Lord and putting others in front of yourself is going to hurt that bad. It's going to hurt. But even Jesus, as the Bible said, sweat drops of blood in anticipation. We read, but God highly exalted him, his name above every name. If we obey the Lord and we say his will be done, that we put others in front of ourselves, you're not going to be exalted to a name above every name. You're not going to be like Christ. You're not going to be like God. You're not. He is always going to be above. Always, always, always. But the Lord does say, if we humble ourselves, that the Lord exalts us. The Lord lifts us up. If we lift ourselves up by putting us first, we're doomed to crash. Doomed to crash. He says in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, after he gave the explanation, right? He said the explanation is, I tell you, look not every man into his own thing, but every man also into the things of others. And he says, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Man, I love that. I love that verse. He's commanding us, work out our salvation. That doesn't mean work for your salvation. It doesn't mean work to keep your salvation. It means work it out. Work in lieu, or not in lieu, but because of your salvation. Man, work because you've been given this gift of eternal life. You've been given this gift of eternal life. Work because you're not going to run out. You're not going to run out of grace. You're not going to run out of strength. You're not going to run out of time because you've got eternity. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Put others in front of yourself. Mainly Christ. Mainly Jesus. Because he commands. He commands our love. He commands our devotion. He commands our obedience. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not an exhortation. It's a command. You know, when I tell somebody to do something, and I have authority over them, because I don't have authority over very many people, but if I have authority over them and I tell them to do something, guess what? I expect it to happen. And anything less is not acceptable. Who has more authority than Christ himself? Nobody. But he commands us to be obedient. He commands us to spread his word. He commands us to put others in front of ourselves. He commands all these things. So we have this explanation. This is what we're supposed to do. We have this demonstration in Jesus, who became humble, a servant, obedient to death, death of the cross. And then he says, This is how we're supposed to apply that. Work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Not because he's a big, mean, bad God that's going to punish us, because he is great. He is powerful. And his greatness and his power is in his grace. How much grace and power does it take to forgive guilty people? Think about that. How much grace, how much power does it take to forgive those who are guilty? Man, that's tough. That takes strength, right? Because we don't want to forgive, right? We don't. We want to hold accountable. Man, we want blood for blood, eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth, right? I'm going to get mine. That, I mean, all of us have thought that or think that from time to time. All of us. Because we're not God. God says, no, I am going to provide for you a sacrifice, a lamb. So you follow this example. You obey this command by following this example that we humble ourselves. And there is no limit to how we humble ourselves. There is no limit to how low we go. There is no limit to what we will not do. What will you not do? I can't, you know, that we think, well, I'd do almost anything, but I wouldn't do that. If it was for our kids, we'd do it. We'll sit on a barbed wire fence for our kids, right? We'll do anything. Well, it's the truth. You know, we'll do anything for our kids. For our family, for our husband, for our wife, whoever it is. We'll do anything for that. But what about the people that are lost, that just dropped the F-bomb in our face because they were mad at us at something at work? What about the person who talks bad about us? What about all these other things? What about the person that mistreats your spouse or your children? Are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to drive on? Are we willing to humble ourselves to the point that all those around us suffer? Think about how much the disciples suffer. I was just reading this past week in Luke. I think it's in Luke 24 where Jesus meets the men on the road to Emmaus. Right? And he's like, what are you talking about? What's going on? Of course, he knows what's going on. It's him, right? He's like, I said, what are you, a stranger? Where you been these last days? Guess what happened, you know? And they tell him what happened. And Jesus walks with them. The Bible says he expounded to them the truth of the Scripture. He told them, man, did our hearts not leap in our chest when he spoke? Well, of course it did. It's the author. He is the author. Guys, it was his joy to be obedient. It is his joy to serve those that he loved. It is his joy to put others in front of himself. He's confident in who he is. He's God. Are we confident in who we are in saved, sanctified, and glorified children of God? Are we? Man, in Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us, I beg you, therefore, my brothers, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. In the KJV, which I'm a KJV guy, in case you didn't already know. This is your reasonable service. It's what's reasonable. It's not exceeding, it's reasonable. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible tells us that therefore we are encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every sin that so easily besets us, that we might run the race unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. Not that the cross was joy, because the cross was not joy, but that his humility, his service, his obedience to the Father, that was the joy, even in the pain. And your obedience is going to hurt. Man, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt those around. How many times now on Sunday night, it's the saints of God on Sunday night, so we're getting right down to it. All right? I'm not sugarcoating nothing. It's going to hurt. And your family, you're going to fight. You're like, man, we ain't going to do that anymore. I'm tired of that. What about us? What about our house? What about our bills? What about our kids? What about this? What about that? Man, the Lord commands us Not necessarily that you have to live at church. That's not what I'm talking about. But be willing to humble yourself that we might serve others above ourselves. And how that works for you is different than how it works for me. But how it works for Jesus, how it works for all of us, it works for Jesus. That He surrendered Himself to the Father. The disciples didn't have to die on a cross to save all of humankind. They weren't worthy. Neither am I. Neither are you.
Amen.
But how that looks, man, we have this explanation. Put others in front of yourself. We have the demonstration in Jesus. We have the practical application. The Apostle Paul in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, do all things, I love this, do all things. Oh, let me read. I didn't read 13, I'm sorry. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. His good pleasure. You ever had people and they say, why do we have to do this? You say, because I said so. Because it's my good pleasure. That's why. Like, man, I'm never going to say that. I mean, I said that. I remember telling my mom and dad, I'll never say that. Guess what? I said it. And I enjoyed it. All right. He says, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure and do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless. Man, if we're obedient, we are blameless, we are harmless. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We don't know nothing about that, do we? In the midst of a perverse and crooked nation. We know a little something about that, right? And we shine as lights. If we serve, if we're humble, if we're not standing up, bowing up our chest like we're somebody, and we're not. Man, our Savior is who is somebody. It is Jesus who is somebody. And this is what, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that we put esteem others more than ourselves. How can the world argue with that? This is what's going to happen. Somebody is going to come up to you and say, Tom, man, something's different about you. You're not all ticked off about this like everybody else is. Why not? Well, let me tell you, this is why. I got no reason to be mad or upset because I know my God is working out everything exactly how He intends it to be. And I am absolutely confident in that. I stand in grace. I stand, as a matter of fact, I stand indestructible, invincible in His grace. We have no reason to be upset, to seek our own if we know we stand invincible in His grace. None. So the explanation is clear. The demonstration we all see for all of eternity, it's painted a beautiful picture in God's Word. The practical application is that we do things without murmuring, without complaining, that we dwell, not that we're supposed to be, I was talking about this morning in Sunday school, not that we're supposed to live in some commune apart from the rest of the wicked, evil world so we can live our nice little Christian life. That's not it. That you might be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's what we hold out there. That's what we speak. Man, that's our authority. That's our power is the word of life. And with that authority and that power, we serve and we esteem others greater than ourselves. That's exactly what Jesus did. The Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the one that lived by the Word of God, not by bread, but by the Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we do this by doing things without murmuring, without disputing, by holding forth the word of life. And the Apostle Paul says that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, or if I be poured out as a drink offering, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, with joy looked. With joy looked. The Apostle Paul, he said, if I be poured out as a drink offering, as a sacrifice, I have nothing left. I hold on to nothing. I keep nothing. We came in with nothing. We leave with nothing. With joy, if I be offered, and I see that the Lord is working in you, it is good. I die a happy man. Saved and sanctified, glorified child of God. And he held on to nothing. Nothing. Man, that's when we're our happiest. Just like Pastor Mark was preaching the last few weeks, he's talking about money. We all love that subject, right? We love getting our toes stepped on talking about money. So he's talking about our possessions, our time, our talent, all those things. Man, we came in with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. So we might as well, as they say on the football field, we might as well leave it all on the field. Because when we hold back, that's when we get hurt. Right? You know, when we hold back, I remember our football coach, he told me, Tony, man, if you don't hit them as hard as you can hit them, you're the one that's going to get hurt. I'm like, man, you're crazy. You know, because everybody was bigger than me, right? Everybody. Like, man, if I hit him as hard as I can hit him, I am the one that's going to get hurt. He's not going to get hurt. But when you hold back, that is when you get hurt. When you don't leave it all on the field, when you don't give it everything you have, that is when we see trouble. But when we give it everything that we have, all of our passion, all of our knowledge, all of our strength, everything that we have, and we don't hold on to anything, man, that's when we're esteeming others above ourselves. And for that joy, we're being poured out as a drink offering. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 118 and verse 27, it says, God, blessed be God as the light. And we tie the sacrifice to the very horns of the altar. You know why we have to tie a sacrifice to the horns of the altar? Because it wants to get away. And when we're about ready to be poured out, and it really starts to hurt, I look around and I see a lot of you people I've known for many years. And I know that you all have gone through a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. And we want to say, man, forget this. I'm done. This is enough. You ever said that? I have. It's like, forget it. It's not worth it. I ain't doing it. But we're bound. You know what we're gripped on? You know what's tying us to that altar? Is God's grace. We can't get away. We couldn't lose it if we wanted to lose it. We can't. We're bound by it. So we might as well joy in it. Because one day, it's going to be over. And you think, man, that day can't come soon enough. Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, did Jesus ever pray for it to end quickly? No. He didn't. Jesus said, give them strength. In John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer, he was praying for the saints. He didn't pray that they'd be taken out of this world. He didn't. Guys, the Lord does not wish, like Pastor Matt said this morning, he's not wishing comfort on you. He don't care if you're comfortable. Matter of fact, he don't care if you're happy. He cares if you're saved. He cares if you're obedient. He wants to transform you into his image, as Pastor Matt said this morning. You know why? That he might be glorified. That he might be glorified. Let's finish up here. Verse 17 again. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice or poured out as a drink offering for the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So we have the explanation, the demonstration, and we have the practical application. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, this takes place. This plays out, man, where everything comes together in Paul's life, where his faith is tested, the consummation of all of his work, all of the work that God had for him to do, the reason he met him on that road and blinded him, the reason he spoke to him, the reason that took him into the wilderness for 3 years, the reason that he had him beaten, and the reason that he had him imprisoned, and all of those things. He says in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered. I am now ready to be poured out. Man, it's over. Sacrifice is done." Guys, that day is coming. And if that day is coming, are you going to be joyous in it or regretting of it? You're going to say, "Man, I wish I'd have. I wish I'd have. Man, we poured out. It's not up to us to get ours. It's not up to you to get yours. It's up to us to, as the Apostle Paul said, to put others better than ourselves. I am ready now to be offered, to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand, for I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Man, that's where it's at right there. Because one day, that crown that we have, if you look in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 22, and I think it's in Revelation chapter 3 in John's vision, where you have these 24 elders, and what are they wearing? They're wearing crowns. What are they doing with the crowns? They're laying them at the Master's feet. They're laying them at the feet of the Lamb of God, who was slain to take away the sin of the world. What kind of honor will it be to lay our crown at His feet? Well, we say, "I have nothing to give. I wanted to get mine, but we didn't take it with us." And we're not going to take anything with us, but it's going to be given when we get there. And not only that, but others will see you. Others will see your humility, your grace. They'll see your faith as you uphold the Word of God and the Word of truth. And they're going to come to you, and you're going to have that opportunity to proclaim your Savior to them. Man, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're commanded to do. Is it any good to be saved if all those around you perish? We want to take those with us. Man, those people right at work next to you are dying and going to hell. Those people in your own home, in your own family, in your own neighborhood, they're perishing. And you know what you're saying if you're not telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ? You're saying, "I'm going to get mine. I ain't worried about you. I'm getting my own." That's what we're saying. Guys, what would the Lord have you do? His Word, if His Word has convicted you tonight, what would He have you to do? Maybe it's just lay it down and say, "Lord, forgive me for not caring about those around me. Forgive me for not putting others above myself. Lord, forgive me for not worshiping you for what you did, for who you are. He's the King." Make a plan that you might be obedient. Make a plan that you might esteem others above yourself by spreading the Word of God where you live, where you work, wherever it is. How can you do that? We're going to pray tonight. We're going to have a song of invitation and just a verse of invitation. Man, if the Lord is speaking to you, you can come forward. You can. Pastor Mark will be up here. I'll be up here. Maybe the Lord is just speaking to you, and you right where you're at, saying, "Lord, show me that one place, that one person that I can esteem above myself, that I might give them, pass on to them the Word of life." If you ask, He's going to tell you. And if He tells you, you better obey. Be careful what you pray for, because you're going to get it. Let's bow our head. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this night. I thank you for your Word that is perfect. Lord, it is complete. It is power. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would not only forgive us where we have failed so miserably, and Lord, in that way, so many times, I am the chief of sinners. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would show us that opportunity. Father, show us that person that we might place above ourselves. Lord, that we might hold up the word of life and be a light in a perverse and crooked nation. Heavenly Father, we love you and we seek your face and your will. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.